Hello and welcome to the No Night Ever podcast. I'm Jamie Smith, and joining me this week are Adam, Kevin, Natalie, and James for a season preview podcast ahead of the opening game against Swansea City at the Turf on Saturday. First of all, though, we'll kick off with news of a signing. Believe it or not, didn't have a podcast last week because we figured there was no point trying to do a podcast about nothing again. But we've got something to talk about, Natalie. We made a signing, John Flanagan from Liverpool. Genuinely exciting signing.
I know. I don't really know how to react to this news. This is
it's
incredibly
very odd,
exciting.
Isn't it?
Like, I know.
Now what do we do?
I know. We're all a little bit of a frenzy saying we've got to record a podcast. We've signed a player. So
Adam
yeah,
was
it
just
was there.
Copy
it's good.
And paste like 10 minutes of the last podcast about no signing.
That's true.
Now we've got to actually generate some fresh content.
It is. I think we were scraping the barrel a bit for the last few weeks, trying to think about what we were going to say about the club. But yeah, new signing. Might only be a loan, but that's fine. It's a season-long loan. Wasn't a position that we were desperate for, but it's fantastic cover. And from everything I've heard, this guy's a really, really great player. So exciting times.
Yeah, I think actually arguably the most impressive of the three so far. I think he's probably a clear upgrade on whichever fullback position he plays. Kevin, John Flanagan, is, as Natalie points out, it's only a loan, possibly as part of the fixture swap deal with Liverpool as well. Do you think he's going to play right back or left back, or will it just be one of those issues that gets decided during the season depending on fitness and form and other issues?
I'd say probably the latter. I think that being able to play on either side has been a big factor for Dyche, bringing him in. It gives him that flexibility. I'd guess there's probably more chance of him playing left, purely because I think we've got a stronger competition on the right than on the left. That's assuming that me is going to be playing central. So I think there's probably more possibility of playing on the left. But I think, yeah, that being able to play on both sides and offer cover for on both sides of the defence is a real big selling point. And I think it's a really strong signing as well. He's a player who's did very well when Liverpool came close to winning the league. Has had a bit of time out injured since then. So if we can get him back to top form, he could be really good for us. And he's probably going to be coming in really hungry as well because he played well. But now Liverpool's got a different manager from when he had that really good form. So he's going to want to come in and say, look, I'm a top class Premier League defender.
Yeah, the versatility I think is absolutely crucial. It's really important to have players who can play various positions. Adam, one slight issue is that it doesn't look like he's going to be fully fit. There's talk that he's going to miss the opening game. We'll come on to a detailed selection debate about that, but is that going to be one of the problems with any signings we make now? Basically, that it's going to take them a while to get up to speed. We know how exacting Sean Dyche is about players' fitness levels.
Yeah, I think you guys have noted it on previous podcasts, not last week, but the 2 weeks before that. You've all said that the problem with not being active in the transfer market, as we haven't really been, is that it takes a while for players to get up to speed. And because of that, now we're always going to lose out on some level of benefit in the early games for these players that have only recently signed or will sign in the coming days, really. But I do think it is good to see us firstly actually making a signing. That kind of reassured me that we still had that ability, like the football, the FA hadn't taken away our ability to sign players or something, as I was beginning to think that. Secondly, it's good to see a signing from another Premier League club. We've seen two signings from Charlton so far. So having a loan from Liverpool with an experienced defender is such great news.
I think you get two Premier League loans, don't you? So it'll be interesting to see if we pursue somebody to fill that extra space. James, as we've pointed out, Flanagan's had quite bad injuries recently, but he did play a key role in Liverpool having a really good push for the Premier League title a couple of years back.
Yeah, Flanagan had a great season when Liverpool were challenging for the title a few years ago. I think he got in the team just before Christmas, and from that point to the end of the season, he sort of made the spot his own. So if he could take that experience, obviously, when he's fully fit for us, then he could be a really good signing and might be key to staying up. And I think if you look at the options we've now got in defence, as long as Michael Keane stays, I think most people will be quite happy with what we've got there. But as you say, he's had quite a lot of injuries, and hopefully he's put that behind him now. And you know, if he gets Dash fit, then you'd like to think maybe he won't get injured again.
Okay, cool. So the latest on Flanagan is that he's not expected to play against Swansea because of the fact he's missed so much pre-season. He didn't go on Liverpool's American tour because he was deciding whether or not to sign for us, apparently, so he's not going to be available. And even if he was, he can't play against Liverpool because of the terms of his loan deal. So it probably wouldn't make much sense to play him against Swansea and then have to change it. That means that there is a selection issue at left-back for the Swansea game. There are a few issues. A few options here. We put a poll on Twitter that we'll go through the results shortly. But Kevin, starting with you, what do you think Dash will do, and what would be your preferred option for left back?
I think Dash would probably go with my preferred option. I think we'll probably move me back to the left and put Tarkowski in the middle. I think that's probably our most established and experienced back line. That's assuming that Ward isn't fit. If Ward's fit, then I think it's a no-brainer that we'll go back to our standard defence from the end of last season. But if Ward doesn't play, I think me will be returning that wide again.
Yeah, I think for this bit of the podcast, we are assuming that Ward isn't available just purely because he's missed the last couple of friendlies, so he's not likely to be up to full speed. I'm with you, Kevin. I think that's the best option, the least disruption. I think Ben Mee's probably a better left back than Daniel Lafferty, who's essentially the other option, unless Flanagan is deemed fit enough to play. And I also suspect Tarkowski, for me, if Keane stays, is something that might happen at some point in the season anyway, so maybe it makes more sense to do that at the start of the season. Natalie, what's your view on this? Flanagan, Ward, obviously fitness issues. Lafferty's not been first choice really since he signed for the club, or Ben Mee moving across. What would you do?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, like you say, Ward would be my first choice. I think he played a really key part in last season, and the team just looked different when he was in it. So I'm actually really hoping that he comes back and gets fit. My choice would be to put Tarkowski in the middle with Ben Mee and leave it as it is, and just make us, I think the key for me is to make as few changes as possible. Part of the success we had last season, and especially with the number of clean sheets we kept, was having a very solid back four, and obviously with Tom Heaton as well, the back five, just to keep some real consistency in that defence, and everybody knew where they were playing, what their role was, and it was really, really effective. I don't want to mess with that too much, so if we can make as few changes as possible, then that would be my preferred option.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. We had one tweet, let me just find it. Someone suggested start Flanagan, and if he tires, maybe switch it at half time. I think it's not ideal to make changes to the defence during a game, so I think there's some merits to playing Flanagan from the start, because he's probably going to be the first choice at left back, I think, but changing it at half time wouldn't be my preferred option. James, what are your thoughts on this, and hopefully you'll have a different opinion to the one Natalie and Kevin have just put forward.
Yeah, personally I'd go with, if, you know, assuming John Flanagan and Stephen Ward both aren't fit, I'd actually go with Daniel Lafferty at left back, just because I think that you know, keeping the common free in Loughton, Keane and me will be good going forward. You know, they've already got that rapport with Tom Heaton, and I think it's easier just to change one spot in the team than to change two. Obviously, I know people will say, well, Daniel Lafferty hasn't really played a lot, and he's not been particularly good, but he has played quite a bit of international football, and you know, I think the only reason he really missed out on the Euros is because he'd started playing so infrequently for us. Well, or on loan, as it had been previously when he'd been getting the Northern Ireland side. But, you know, I think he's still a decent footballer. Obviously, he's not first choice, and I'd expect once Ward and Flanagan are both fully fit that he'd be looking for a loan move again. But for me, for the first game of the season, just to try and keep as few changes as possible, I'd start with Daniel Lafferty, but obviously that's assuming Flanagan and Ward aren't available. But ideally, yeah, I think you'd want Flanagan to play.
And what about you, Adam? Round off this section of the podcast for us. What do you think Dash will do? And then we'll go through the poll results.
I actually think that he will keep it as the starting 11 was against Real Sociedad. Because I think if you've got a preseason,
that's with Lafferty at left back, right?
Yeah, that's with Lafferty at left back, and me and Keane in the middle.
Left to see at left back.
Good one. yeah, because I think if you've had a preseason game together, you're a lot more capable of playing together. Whereas the problem with the lineup that you guys have suggested is that they've never really played together properly, at least. At least, even if Lafferty isn't as good as me at left back, then at least they've had some game time together, which I think is really important for a defence in terms of communication, etc.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Dash did that, which was maybe just having a look at Lafferty to see if he's ready. But yeah, I think it would be unusual for the Tarkowski option to be enforced, because Tarkowski's just not played that much in pre-season, so it would be odd maybe for him to be in the starting lineup. The poll that I mentioned then, about 500 people had their say when we put this on Twitter on Monday, and it's really split actually. I thought it was going to be more clear cut than this. The options I put on this poll were a half fit Flanagan and a half fit Ward, Lafferty or Ben Mee, and narrowly Ben Mee was the preferred option. 30% said Ben Mee, 29% said a half fit Flanagan, 24% said Lafferty, and only 17% said a half-fit Ward. So yeah, that's certainly one to keep an eye on for the weekend, and it'll be interesting to see what Sean Dyche does in that area, because that's probably the only real selection quandary for this game. We'll come on to previewing Swansea in a bit more detail towards the end of the podcast, but the meat of the podcast this week is going to be previewing the season as a whole and doing some predictions as well, so that everyone can look back at the end of the season and see how wrong we are. So first of all, we'll talk about Burnley specifically before moving on to the Premier League as a whole. Natalie, obviously there's a few days to go before the season starts, and there could be more signings to come before the end of the transfer window, but what are your thoughts at the moment? How are we going to do?
I don't think it's going to be as doom and gloom as our transfer activity is going to suggest. I mean, I think that's always the difficulty in a pre-season prediction. I think at the end of last season, we were all incredibly buoyant about our chances and thinking that this was the season we were going to stay up. And, you know, there was such a good spirit around the team, and we had Joey in the centre as a real leader. And, you know, we all felt that this was the year we were going to do it. And it doesn't really take very much in a frustrating transfer window or a summer pre-season to deflate everybody's ambition slightly. And there's a bit of a feel of doom and gloom around the place that people are expecting us to do really badly and go down. I'm not expecting us to finish much above 17th or 18th. And I think if we do manage to survive, then I think it will be by the skin of our teeth. But quite frankly, I'll take that. I'm still hopeful of us, this being the season that we survive. And I'm going to go for 18th with about 1 or 2 points clear of relegation. I think we'll stay up.
Now, you know, three teams go down, right? 18th means we get relegated.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, 17th. Oh my God, I can't even count today.
I thought you were being so positive then. You went, yeah, I'm really optimistic. We're going to stay up this year. We're going to finish 18. Right, brilliant.
Oh, great stuff. I am sorry. I meant 17th or 16th. My brain is not working. I maintain my positivity, but I think we will scrape up and finish out of 17th or 16th.
All right, okay, back up. Brilliant. James, let's go to you. What's your view and a prediction from you as well, please?
Obviously, as it stands with the few signs we've made, I think, you know, it looks like a tall task at the moment. And I think the last two times it's been a tall task as well, but we've not been far off making it the last two times around, and I think, you know, we've still a few weeks to go to get some bodies in the midfield, which I think is obviously clearly the area that needs strengthening. And with Dash having plenty of time to work with the players, obviously a lot of the players who, you know, particularly Andre Gray, he didn't have a Dash pre-season last year, so we've seen he's banged him in the friendlies so far, and hopefully he can you know, continue that form into the Premier League. I think momentum obviously is key, so if you can start scoring early, then, you know, we've got a real chance of getting some wins under our belt. And I think that I think that we've got a good chance that if we play the way we can under Dash, you know, and buy into his philosophy, then we could narrowly stay up in 17th. And that's going to be my prediction for us this season, because I'm going to be optimistic about it.
Adam, we threw this out to Twitter. You've got some of the responses that we've got there as well before we hear from you. Have you got those ready?
Okay, so Adam Major says, with our current squad, I can see it being really tight, either 18th or 17th. I assume he means 18th would see us relegated, unlike Natalie,
who doesn't know how many teams there are in the league. Apparently.
Yeah. He continues with a new centre midfielder. He thinks we can finish around 15th, which I think that would be echoed by myself. Nicholas Ward says 19th, one place above Hull. We'll be hard to beat, but our central midfield will be destroyed and the Premier League need quality soon. Stuart Rose says he's always optimistic at the start of every season regardless. So for me, it's 50 points and safe in April-ish. Wow, that's optimism right there. Rob Thomas says defence is solid. Midfield is in serious need of an upgrade. Cover for Gray needed up front. 16th to 17th if midfield is strengthened. Rich says 17th, last day survival, I think, but it's going to be really tight. Peter Taylor says, I assume not the manager, Peter Peter Taylor, says he's got a good feeling we will stay up, 17th maybe. Ryan Holt says 19th, above Hull. Still time to strengthen, though, could make all the difference. Austin says, as things stand, I think we'll be relegated. Dash is a top manager, but not a miracle worker. He needs help from the board. Rojo Claret simply says, this is the last one, says, we'll not go down, ! And personally, I think we will stay up by 1 point on the final day of the season, finishing 17th.
By me. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what's been said there. I think, obviously, it's difficult to give predictions when you don't know what the transfer business is going to look like by the end of the window, but having to guess at this stage, I just don't think we've got enough unless serious investments made, and Hull are the only team I can see as finishing above at this stage either. Kevin, round off this bit for us.
I agree with you there, Jamie. It's I was quite optimistic for this season a couple of months ago. I think we've had a couple of seasons in Premier League before. It's almost been, obviously, it's been very disappointing to go down, but it's almost been like, you know, we've enjoyed it. It's enjoy our time in the top. But this season, we really need to stay here. And like you, I really can't see where the quality is in the team to do that, and the depth of quality as well, which is a big issue as well. I think if we can finish 17th, that is fantastic. But 17th has to be the aim. I'm not sure we can finish above that. I really think we need to be aiming for that, and I really think we need to be getting that. But right now, I'm not sure where the quality is to do that.
Yeah, I think, goes without saying, doesn't it? Everyone would take 17th right now. And that's probably a sign of the business we've done in the transfer market. As an aside, by the way, this week, Thursday actually, is going to be Brian Stock Day. If you're not aware of Brian Stock Day, you've been missing out for starters. But on August 11th, I think it was, August 11th, 2012, was the last time Burnley Football Club paid actual money for a central midfielder, and that was Brian Stock, who obviously long-term listeners to the podcast will be aware that James Bird is a massive fan of. James, as much as we all love Brian Stock on the podcast, a bit ludicrous that it's been 4 years since we signed a central midfielder. Do you think that's going to be key in our efforts this season? Where do you think we're going to finish?
Yeah, no, Brian Stock, what a player. I mean, maybe we should sign him back, to be honest. You know, he could be the key to survival. I think it is quite hard to believe that it's been, you know, so long since we paid money for a central midfielder. Obviously, it is a little bit, maybe a little bit hinging on the fact that we got really fortunate last season. Someone the caliber of Joey Barton was available, on a free. But yeah, it is shocking that it's been so long since we've spent money on a central midfielder, and I think we really need to this season. though I'm not quite as downbeat as most people are on Dean Marnie and David Jones. You know, I think if you look back to last time in the Premier League, until Dean Marnie, you know, unfortunately got injured, then I think we were, you know, in the running to stay up. But obviously since then, Dean's had, you know, quite a few more injuries as well, and it is kind of his age catching up. You know, with the two we've got in midfield at the moment, can they both stay fully fit for a season? And you won't really want to take a chance on that, because obviously we paid for it last time. So I think really, yeah, you want at least one more central midfielder, probably two. You know, one who can push for a start, and then maybe one who's going to strengthen the bench. And I think if we had that, I'd be definitely confident to say that we, you know, we could finish 17th or maybe even 16th.
Right, now it's that time of the week for Tweet of the Week. So over to Natalie.
Tweet of the week, tweet of the week. Tweet of the week, tweet of the week. Tweet of the week, tweet of the week, tweet of the week.
We do, and we have a very, very good tweet of the week this week, which made me laugh a lot. So now we're big time, obviously. I don't know how many of our listeners actually realise that the lower leagues started this Saturday. You know, we get to wait a little bit.
English
because
Football
we,
League is ludicrously. Yeah. We're not in something called the English Football League.
Me too.
Anyway,
we're in the Premier League now. But anyway, yeah, so our friends down the road started their campaign for their, you know, push for the Premier League last season. They ran into a bit of sticking trouble against Norwich City and got a 4-1 thumping at home, which we all laughed loudly at. So this week's Tweet of the Week comes from Simon Dixon, who's, I think it's Dickos Clarets. And his tweet
probably
just says...
Dickos Clarets, not...
Dickos. I'm going to call that.
Like, Natalie said dick on the podcast. Whoa.
I'm going to go for some entertainment on the podcast and say I'm going to call it Dickos Clarets, so you can all have a laugh. But his tweet this week says, Owen Coyle relegating Lancashire one club at a time since 2010. And that made me laugh a lot, so impressive. Well done, Sam.
I can't quite believe that Owen Coyle manages Rovers. I haven't got my head right in that one yet. It's so weird.
I'm trying to ignore it, to be honest.
At what stage do we get the do we dust off the Owen Coyle's God banners?
Apparently they were booing at half time, 3-0 down at home.
Apparently lots left, actually. I'm hearing the reports that a lot walked out before half time.
Well, it was their lowest attendance for an opening game in like something like 10 years or something. So if people left at half time, and it got even lower.
We may be inept at the transfer market, but at least we're not Rovers.
This is very true. Even if we get relegated this year, Rovers being awful is bound to provide some crumb of comfort for the next 12 months. Right, moving on then to predictions. We'll start off with the Premier League winners. Last season, Leicester City won the Premier League despite being 5,000-1 at the start of the season. By the way, you can get 1,500-1 on Burnley at the moment. If you want to put a couple of quid on that, please gamble responsibly. Natalie, it was wide open this season, doesn't it? Both Manchester clubs have got new managers, Chelsea as well. Liverpool, Spurs might be stronger. How do you see it going?
I think it's going to be another really exciting season at the top of the Premier League. I think the days of a very small number of teams monopolising the league have gone. Obviously, we saw it last season with a complete outsider taking the title. But, you know, I think we talked about this before. It's been quite unfortunate on some of the teams like Spurs and Southampton as well, and even Stoke, who had really good seasons last season but got completely overshadowed by Leicester's fantastic achievement. I think the top six next season is going to be incredibly tough. And I can genuinely see the likes of Arsenal dropping out the top four. I really do. I think it's going to be a complete race between City and United. I think Manchester will dominate the Premier League. And I think I think City are going to edge it for me. I'm going to go with City for champions.
City are just about narrow favourites at the moment. I think Chelsea, I think it's not being in the Champions League will be a real benefit for them, being able to completely focus on the league. I think Conte is an absolutely fantastic manager. He's tactically by far and away up there with Guardiola as the best tacticians in the league, I think. So Chelsea are my pick. Adam?
Mourinho will lead Manchester United to the title. As Natalie says, I think the top four will be incredible, and the top six even, because you've got so many teams up there with quality and real high stakes for the managers in charge, and whether they can pull it off is going to be quite entertaining to watch. Even if we're struggling down the other end, at least we'll have some entertainment at the top end.
Three different predictions so far then, Kevin. Are you going to give us another different one or one of the same?
Yes, obviously Leicester just blew everything open last season, so I don't know. I think my favourite is probably going to be West Brom. I think we could surprise it. But no.
Bold. Very bold.
No, I think you hit me on the head, really, Jimmy, when you said that you've got City, United, Chelsea, all new managers. Liverpool, obviously, Klopp came in last season, but it's his first season after having the summer to reshape things a little bit, and he's got no European competition at all to focus on, so they can completely focus on the league as well. So Liverpool probably offer a little bit more competition at the top just to make things a little bit more interesting. But I agree with you, Jamie. I think all the attention is going to be on City and United because they've got the high profile bosses. But I think Chelsea could thrive under that, the lack of pressure almost that is going to come their way because of that focus on the Manchester teams. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Chelsea take the top honour.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be wide open. James, you get the last shout on this one, and give us your top four at the same time as well. We'll speed it up a bit.
For reasons I'm still not entirely sure why I've decided this is my pick, but I think Chelsea are going to win the title. Obviously, they've still got a really good side, and I think last season was an anomaly. And I think if you look at the teams at the top, then they're probably one who've got the best mix of players being settled and an actual quality of players. So I think Chelsea could win the title. I think Man United are going to have a really good season under Mourinho, so I've got them to finish second. Then I've got Man City in third, because I just think they're lacking consistency. And for a similar reason, I've got Arsenal in fourth, because they stopped playing in March, so everyone catches up to them.
So that's James's top four. Adam, you next. Top four predictions, Champions League. So many teams up there. Someone's going to have to miss out.
Yeah, I think Arsenal are going to miss out, and I think Spurs will miss out. They'll have a bit of a second season syndrome over under Pochettino. So I think one, Man United, as I said. Two, I think Liverpool will come into their own under Klopp, because they were quite impressive against Barcelona, I saw at the weekend. But Barcelona were also rubbish, so you never really know with pre-season. Third, Manchester City. I think it'll take a while for Guardiola to get his ideology through to his new players. For Chelsea, just because I think, as Jamie said, he's tactically, Conte is very tactically aware, and I think they'll do just enough to return to Champions League football.
Yeah, I think this is maybe the toughest to predict. Probably seven or eight teams that would really expect to be right up there. I think West Ham have got a really good chance. I think they sign a really top-class striker. They've got a fantastic chance. I'm going Chelsea to win the league, Man City second, Man United third, Arsenal fourth, because they always seem to finish fourth. So no Liverpool or Spurs in the top four for me. Natalie, over to you.
I have the same thought as Adam. I have City first, United second, I'm going to put Chelsea third, and I'm going to go Liverpool fourth. I agree with your comments earlier, Jamie, about the lack of Champions League football assisting Chelsea. Obviously, that's going to assist Liverpool as well. And I think a full season under Klopp, I think they're going to really flourish, so they're my four.
Danny Ings fit again, of course. It'll be interesting to see what sort of impact he has. Can't believe people are predicting Arsenal to miss out in the Champions League, Kevin. Arsenal never miss out in the Champions League. What's your top four?
Yeah, so I think Chelsea could come top. I think City, United and possibly Tottenham in the top four. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Arsenal miss out on the top six completely. I think Liverpool could potentially challenge Tottenham for that fourth place. They're very much a wild card. I think Liverpool could come anywhere from second right down to 10th. They're in such a flux really at the moment. I think, like you said, it's probably one of the most exciting Premier League seasons in the top half. certainly at this stage anyway, that I can remember in a long time, which probably means that it's going to be completely boring and it'll be all decided after a few games.
Yeah, it could be an anti-climax, couldn't it? Because I really do think seven or eight teams are going to be really fighting it out, but we'll have to wait and see. To the bottom of the league then, where we all expect Burnley are going to be around about, but who knows? No one expected Leicester to win the league last year. Hull City runaway favourites for relegation after Steve Bruce walked out at the start of the season. Various other clubs in there in the betting as well. Middlesbrough obviously, promoted clubs always up there. Watford, West Brom, Sunderland, Swansea seem to be the bookmakers' favourites. James, we'll start with you on this one then. Three to go down.
Going down this season, I have Hull bottom, obviously for pretty clear reasons why they could be in that position. Second bottom, I think Sunderland, I think it's going to catch up with them eventually. I think we saw it with Aston Villa. They had a few seasons where they were close to going down and sort of scraped out of it, and then eventually, you know, you can't avoid the drop when you're simply not good enough. And I think, you know, likewise to Newcastle, both times they've been down, it's kind of happened the same way. And then I think third bottom will be Middlesbrough. I've not really been too impressed with the business they've done. I think they've signed a lot of foreigners, which I think is a very Middlesbrough Premier League tactic. And, you know, while there may be a bit of pedigree there and, you know, obviously some big fees, I'm not really quite sure that it's going to stand up as value for money.
Kevin, you go next. Three to go down from you, please.
I think the three favourites for me are probably the promoted clubs, Hull, Burnley and Borough. Borough, they've spent a little bit more than us two, so they could do a little bit better, but you never know with Karanka in charge what will happen. If other teams, I mean, Sunderland are always that team that you never know what's going to happen with them. And Watford, again, with a new manager, they could be at risk as well. So I think the pre-promoter clubs are strong favourites for me to go down at the moment, but hopefully that doesn't quite happen from our perspective.
Yeah, it always seems automatic, doesn't it? The three promoter clubs are the favourites, but I think it's quite rare that actually happens, that the three all go back down. Middlesbrough, as Kev says, have spent a lot of money this summer, so I think their fans are expecting maybe even mid-table. Natalie, you go next then. Let's have your bottom three, with Burnley on 17th, 18th on the cusp.
Yeah, Burnley in the new survival place of 17th, which has just been created for this season. I've just created it. Yeah, I'm not putting Burnley in the bottom three because I predict them to stay up. So my bottom three are Hull, Watford and West Brom.
So Kev says West Brom are going to win the league and Natalie says they're going to go down. Exciting season for West Brom and stuff.
Who's going to win that fight?
Yeah, unfortunately, as it stands, as I mentioned earlier, I don't see Burnley surviving unless there are significant arrivals. So Burnley are in my three, along with Hull. And I think Swansea have lost some big players this summer. There's talk that IU and Williams are going to go as well. And their manager, Guidolin, did well last season, but second season syndrome with managers seems to be a bit of a thing. So interesting to see how they do. Certainly think Swansea on the opening day at home is a game that we should be looking to win, and that'll be a real indication of where both clubs are at, I think. Adam, you get the last word on this one then. Your bottom three.
I seem to have an amalgamation of everyone's choices. I think Hull are absolutely going to go down with the pre-season they've had and the kind of instability of their managerial position. I think I saw today Mike Phelan, obviously the Burnley connection there is might get the job on a full-time basis. He's got no first hand experience, I don't think, as the main man. He's obviously got that Man United experience and Hull assistant. But I think Hull are going to go down. Swansea, I think I agree with Jamie. I think that they might struggle. Especially because it seems to have gradually got worse for Swansea over the last few seasons. And I feel like that might capitulate this season. And West Brom, Natalie's choice. I think that Tony Pulis's reign of keeping teams in the Premier League might end, maybe with him leaving halfway through the season or something controversial like that. Who knows? I'm just using my imagination because I don't really have much actual knowledge of these things to predict any other way.
Just put them out of the air. That's what all the pundits do. Paul Merson predicting us to finish bottom has got everyone and a bit of a tiz on Twitter.
Well, that's not using your imagination, though, is it, really? No. I feel like that's quite a safe choice.
Fair enough. Lastly on this, then, Golden Boot. Harry Kane won it last year for Spurs, although they missed out on the title. Sergio Aguero always seems to start as favourite, and if he stays fit, we'll probably get it. My money's gone on Romelu Lukaku, if that counts for anything. 12-1, I think that's a good bet, especially if he moves to Chelsea before the end of the transfer window. So I've gone with Lukaku. Kevin, you next, top goal scorer?
Lukas Djukovic.
I don't think he'll get one. That's my bet of the season. Lukas Djukovic will not score a goal.
Safe bet there, Jamie.
Stick that in a double, Kevin. See what odds you get. Djukovic top goal scorer, West Brom to win the league. That will be big odds.
Gamble responsibly.
Yeah, please don't bet on any of these things. Don't come running to us if you end up in the poorhouse. Natalie, your choice for Golden Boot?
I'm really, really, really torn between Kane and Ibrahimovic. And I think, especially after watching the Charity Shield on Sunday, I think I'm leaning towards Ibrahimovic. I think he's the kind of striker that there's not that many of them. In the Premier League, he's just slightly different. You know, he's very strong, he's very tall, and I think he will surprise a lot of defences, so I'm going to go with him.
It'll be interesting to see how he does, actually. I watched quite a bit of PSG at work last year, and he just physically dominated a lot of defenders in Ligue 1. I don't know if he'll be able to do that in the Premier League, but certainly he's got all the talent in the world.
Well, I think the way I'm coming from with that, I think that against some of the top sides, you know, he might not be as effective, but against some of the bottom half of the table with some defences, are not going to have a clue how to deal with him. He could end up getting hat-tricks galore.
Yeah, well, remember before Ronaldo went to Real Madrid, he scored a hell of a lot of goals, didn't he? But they tended to be against teams in the bottom half, and Ibrahimovic might well end up doing that. Interesting to see how they're using him. He's 34, he might not play every week. They might only use him in the bigger games. I don't know what Mourinho's plans are for him. Kevin, are you going to give us a sensible answer on this, or are you sticking with Djokovic?
I think, like you said, Aguero is always going to be the favourite if he can stay fit. Other than that, I'm going to put Harry Kane back up there if Spurs can have another good season.
Kane's a solid chat. Adam,
Gray. Someone had to say it, really, didn't they? So I'm going to go with it.
Did have to say it. Looking at the odds now, I think it's around 66-1. I thought he'd be a bit bigger, to be honest.
Yeah, he's on similar odds to like Jay Rodriguez and the likes of that. You know, he's not that far. It's not.
I don't
that.
Think he's actually a ridiculous shout. If we concede loads of goals next season and we're like reliant on Andre Gray to score all of our goals, it's not actually a ridiculous shout that he could do it. I don't actually believe he will get the Golden Boot. But
I've put about a fiver each way on him. I think he'll do pretty well.
It's the same odds as Andy Carroll.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at the players that he's around. Like, I'm looking at him now. Theo Walcott, similar odds. Jay Rodriguez, as Natalie said, Andy Carroll, Negredo.
Where's Charlie Austin?
Charlie Austin is further down, I think. I can't actually see.
I think there's more chance of Gray being top scorer than someone like Theo Walcott. I mean, we know what Theo Walcott does. We know who he is and what he's. I think he's much more established. Whereas Gray is that, like Adam says, he could be that almost wild card. It comes on and says a Premier League alike. He's new to the league, so I don't think it's going to happen. But I think there's certainly more chance of it happening than the likes of Walcott and people who are a bit more established in the league.
I think with Gray, what's interesting as well is that we have those home games at the start of the season. It's 5-7, isn't it? And we've got Swansea and Hull, so real opportunities to get goals. And he's obviously been on fire in pre-season with 9-6, so he could start really well. James, let's have a golden boot selection from you, please.
I think the Golden Boot's really interesting this year. Obviously, Ibrahimovic has come in, and I think, depending on how he's used, he's obviously got a chance. Andre Gray, you know, potentially, if Burnley sort of shock everyone and start really quick out the gates, then, you know, he could be in with a shout. You know, he's clearly got goal-scoring ability, and it could be the case that Burnley rely on him heavily for goals, and he could score almost every one of our goals, in which case, you know, I think it'd be possible to even be Golden Boot and go down. Which I wouldn't want that to happen, but I'm not sure if it's happened before either. But, you know, such is our reliance, I think, on his goals this season, that could be the case. But I think, you know, if Sergio Aguero stays fit, it's hard to really look past him. I think he's, you know, maybe the best goal scorer the Premier League's ever seen. But unfortunately, he's just got an injury record that doesn't really match to help his tally. So he's not quite maybe got the tally that he deserves.
And just finally, before we wrap up this predictions part of the podcast, while we were talking about Gray, how many goals do you think Gray will score in the league? Danny Ings got 9, did he, in the Premier League last time? Do you think more or less than Danny Ings managed, Natalie?
More. I think he's going to score 12. There you go. How's that for... this is a new new Premier League season, a positive promise. I'm going to go 12.
Kevin's been
either that or I'm going...
Kevin's been in touch with the traders at Bet365 for a price on Lucas Jukvic to win the Golden Boot, so that's something to look out for on Twitter. Adam, how many goals will Gray score then? Around 12, up to 15 maybe?
I think around 11, 12, maybe 13. It all depends on how the team does, because what you forget with strikers is it's not their raw ability. If it's raw ability, then it would be totally different every season. But we've got to get the distribution right, which is something we struggled with last Premier League season. I think 11, 12, 13 is probably the right ballpark.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair to say. I mean, it obviously depends on his service. I think if you put him in the Arsenal team, he'd probably get 20, 25, but there might be games this season where he doesn't even have a single chance. It was certainly the case for Danny Ings 2 years ago. Kevin, how do you think Andre Gray's going to do this season?
I hate to sound like a broken record, but I'm going to have to agree with Adam that I think it really depends on how we strengthen the team in midfield. I think he'll probably do it around the same as what Danny Ings did, probably around the 10 mark. I think he could get into double figures, and I think that'd be very positive for us if he can do.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing a preview thing for someone today, and basically comparing him to Jamie Vardy, and the fact that he's come from non-league relatively late in his career, and he's got that searing pace. But it does depend on the service. Vardy was so dangerous last year because Leicester consistently hit very accurate long passes from the back of their midfield and even defence over the top, and Vardy just ran onto them. If we can hit Gray with similar balls, then I think he'll cause a lot of problems, but I don't know if we've got anyone who plays that sort of passes in the team at the moment. Moving on to previewing the Swansea game, specifically Swansea up first at the Turf at the weekend. Been a strange summer for Swansea, although they've kept their manager, whereas a lot of teams have changed them. They've also seen some players go out, unconfirmed transfers at the time of recording, but it sounds like Ashley Williams, their captain, could be on the way out. Also, Andre Ayew, who scored a lot of goals for them last season, seems to be on the brink of a move to West Ham, so some of their more important players might well be out of the door, although they have signed Fernando Llorente, who could play up front against us at the weekend. Natalie, opening day of the season, you never know quite what to expect, but what do you think we're going to see on Saturday?
I'm expecting quite a positive display from us on Saturday. I think early season, you know, teams haven't really bedded in yet. They've not really had a chance to settle into what style they're going to play and what first choice team they're going to play. And momentum as well plays a huge factor. We're at home. We've just finished a season as champions of the championship, so morale is high. We've kept the majority of the players together. Swansea, on the flip side, didn't really end last season in a particularly strong run of form, so they're not as positive as we are. Sure, they've got brand new season, clean slate, and all of that to think about, but they're away from home at the champions of the championship, and I think it'll be a good result for us. I can see us playing really well, and I can see us winning the game.
I really think we have to win. I mean, I don't want to over-egg it and say that it's like crucial to what happens over the season, but if we are going to stay up, this is the sort of game that we really have to win. One selection question: we already looked at left back earlier in the podcast, but a slight question mark over one of the midfield roles potentially. I think we all assume that Jones and Marnie will be the central midfield pair in the absence of literally anyone else to play central midfield, but what about Goodmunson? Is he going to come into the team straight away, or will he be on the bench? Is it going to be Arfield and Boyd? What are your thoughts for the wide positions, Kevin? What do you think Dash is going to do?
I didn't hear that question because Aaron went on some website that started playing music.
Fuck's sake, Aaron!
Sorry.
Who's going to play on the wing? Goodmunson, Arfield, Boyd?
Sorry, say that again. I wasn't listening.
Fucking hell, man.
Oh my god.
Cannot get the staff together. Seriously, like, the put him on telly scene is the boss of the podcast. He's not even listening.
Look, what happens when Birdie's not on? I'm really starting to worry that he is the glue that keeps us together. This is terrible.
Kevin, are you listening to the question?
I think so.
Third time lucky. Who's going to play out wide? Arfield, Boyd, Goodmanson?
I think Dyche will probably play it safe and go Boyd and Arfield. I think Goodmanson probably introduced probably a little up from a bench to begin with, might break into the team later on, but Dyche is he's a very big fan of both Arfield and Boyd, and I'd be probably a little bit surprised if he did drop either of them at the start of the campaign.
Yeah, it was interesting that Goodmanson started the Sociedad friendly. I thought, I've heard mixed reports of how he did though, so I don't know if he did enough to earn a place in the side. Adam, what do you think Dyche will do? Do you think it'll be Arfield and Boyd like last season, or will we see an Iceland derby? Because of course Swansea City's best player is Icelandic Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Of course, I forgot about that. I think Goodmanson will start. We signed him, and he's obviously, I think he's on form, which is important for a winger. If you look at his Icelandic national team appearances at the Euros, he's obviously got that momentum a little bit. Whereas George Boyd has been stuttering and starting since forever. So I think he might have a chance of starting if Dyche follows my logic, but he does really like Boyd and Arthur, so who actually knows? No one apart from Sean Dyche.
That was so insightful, Adam. Thank you for that.
Someone who might know is James Bird. James Bird, what are your thoughts on team selection in Swansea? What's going to happen at the weekend?
I think the Swansea game's going to be really difficult. It's interesting because obviously Swansea's team has changed quite a bit recently, and you know, they were a really good side last time we came up, and they caused us some problems. But you know, there's been changes there now, and I don't think they change for the better. So it could be a difficult season for them. You know, I know a few people have got them going down who I know in their predictions, and I think it's key. Obviously, we have a really good start. I think winger wise, it's going to be difficult. You know, how we fit it in. I think Goodmanson's really impressed in pre-season. Obviously, really impressed people last season, and that's the reason we're in for him. And as far as, you know, one of the guys who was playing last season missing out, I think it's hard to see Scott Arfield missing out, because he seems to have been quite immune previously to bad form from Sean Dyche, and I think as a result, that there's other things there that Dyche really likes, and I think that's going to get him in the side. And I think George Boyd's really going to pay for his early season form last year, and I think he'll actually start on the bench, and Goodmanson will get the chance, you know, with Arfield on the other side, which will be, you know, interesting to see how he copes in the Premier League, and obviously just bedding into a new team. But he has had more or less a full pre-season, so it'll be interesting to see how he does.
As always, then, we'll round off with some predictions. Natalie, you already said you think Burnley are going to win this one. Give us a score to get up and running. Are we going to see, this is what everybody wants to know, what everyone wants to know, Natalie, is are we going to see the return of Brommer's reverse psychology?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know what to do. My heart is telling me that I should stick with it and carry on, because it was just so effective last year. You know, it got us over the line. You know, that was me blatantly taking full credit for our promotion last season. I've just realised what I've just said. But it's a new season and it's a new challenge. So do you know what? I'm going to try and be positive. Let's bin it for the first game and see how it goes. But if it all goes horribly wrong against Swansea, I'm bringing it back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So I'm going to predict on Saturday, in keeping with how I felt the game was going to go, I'm going to predict a comfortable win for Burnley, a 2-0 opening victory.
Ooh. Oh, you've done it now. Kevin, prediction from you, please.
I think it's quite a nice start to the season. It's not the most exciting game to start with, but I think it's a very winnable game, particularly at Turf Moor. I'm going to go a 2-1 victory to Burnley.
2-0, 2-1. Adam, what about you?
I think our defence will ship goals, but we might win. So 3-2 to Burnley.
2-3-2 to Burnley, brilliant. 23-2. I think the opposite, actually, depending on what we do in defence. I think solid defence was obviously crucial to us last season, so I think maybe a 1-0 and just nick one. James, you get the last prediction then. Give us a nice big scoreline for Burnley. Andre Gray hat-trick, maybe?
For my Swansea prediction, I'm going to go. I'm going to go positive. I'm going to go for a Burnley win. We're just going to edge it, and I think it's going to be 2-1 with two Andre Gray goals. Just short of the traditional Andre Gray hat-trick, but you know, you've got to give him a week to get up to speed. And I think after that, it'll be Andre Gray hat-tricks all the way on his way to the Golden Boot.
Right, that's it for this week's podcast then. Hopefully some new signings before the opening day of the season, but it looks like it might well be the same team as last year. Thanks to Natalie, Kevin, Adam and James for joining me. I've been Jamie Smith, and we'll be back next week to talk about hopefully a successful start to the season. Burnley without a win on the opening day in the Premier League for the last two times, so hopefully it'll be third time lucky. That's it for this week's podcast. I've been Jamie Smith. Goodbye.
I'm not sure they're going to win the league, but they might be able to have a little bit of a... Not again.
Yes! Last week's was better.
What, oh, my God.
Still not bad.
This is going to have to be a feature. Kevin.
And this week on Kevin Can't Speak.
I don't even understand. How does your mouth make that noise?
What the hell?
How has this happened again?
Oh, so professional.
Come on, Kevin, pull it together.
At least the outtakes will be good.